Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how Pay Cargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. This is Jeffrey Aaron, and welcome to today's Flying Talkers. We're glad you're here. GWC, the logistics provider of next year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar, hosted a virtual forum on Tuesday, November 16, 2021, featuring industry experts showcasing highlights on the preparations for the FIFA World Cup being held in Qatar in 2022. FIFA says we'll create a new benchmark, not only for the region, but for the entire world. That's a direct quote. Jose Duma, head of events logistics at FIFA, delivered the keynote speech and said, "Logistics is everywhere. There's never been a more apt time to talk about logistics as it is in the forefront. In 1 year's time, November 21st through December 18th, 2022, it will be FIFA World Cup in Qatar. The eyes of the world will be here watching us, which is the biggest single sporting event in the world, with viewing audience of 3.6 billion persons and 1.2 million spectators, as the tournament will be held for the very first time in the Muslim and Arab world. Without a doubt, the key to moving World Cup will be Qatar Cargo, the top air cargo carrier in the world." Kirsten De Bruin, Senior Vice President, Cargo Sales and Network Planning at Qatar Airways, joined the panel, underscoring the notion that the QR cargo delivery on time, hands-on service, is guaranteed. Kirsten left no doubt that the cargo airline is wound up and ready to go in any case. This is a quote. "After shutdown," she declared, "we adapted our processes rapidly in order to continue to fly. And I think that's why we've shown throughout the last 2 years, well, we've never stopped. We always say that Qatar Airways didn't know any borders because we continued to fly. And even now, we're traveling up to 140 destinations. So the connectivity of our network remains the strength throughout all the challenges that we have and expect to see in the future." That's Kirsten De Bruin. Something to look forward to, a great sporting event taking place in Qatar next November. This is Jeffrey Aaron. An old hand in the air cargo business, Radharamian Panikkar, has seen it all, done it all. One of India's well-known air freight specialists, he managed Cargo Service Center India, CSC, for around 20 years. In this time, the company grew from a single station setup into a multi-airline handling company with stations in Mumbai, Chennai, and Delhi. The company also got a contract for construction and management of the perishables cargo terminal in Mumbai and second integrated cargo terminal in Delhi. In 2014, Panicker decided to go out on his own and he formed his own company, Dangerous Goods Management, DGM, in India. DGM India is a fully recognized dangerous goods training entity in the Indian air cargo market, and Panicker is probably one of the few experts in dangerous goods that can really tell you like it is in that country right now. No wonder it's difficult to pin him down. At least 15 to 20 days a month, Panicker is somewhere in the country training people, giving it back, doing the best thing you can do, training people on how to handle dangerous goods. We talked to Mr. Panicker to find out how the pandemic has treated the dangerous goods business. This is what he said. Dangerous goods movement by air is very limited. This is also because many do not carry dangerous goods for the fear that the shipper is not completely doing the job of making the transport of dangerous goods safe. They fear the proper declaration of the DG cargo in terms of their proper shipping and classification, including packing groups. This includes a degree of danger. So the cost of transporting DG goes up much higher as compared to general cargo, whereas there is no special or extra service provided by the airlines. Mr. Panicker said the lack of sufficiency and the efficiently handled training staff is also missing from the airlines and also the GHS. To make matters worse, he said, airlines have different standards on the acceptance of DGs, often at variation with what is stated in the regulation. For example, X Airlines accepting DG at Mumbai and another Delhi or some other place would have different methods or procedures for acceptance of that cargo. Finally, the big challenge is the way DG packages are tested in India. Dangerous goods handling then was a business necessitating know-how and strict controls. From packaging and labeling to compliance and infrastructure, the smallest of errors can result in the biggest of catastrophes, or as Jimmy Durante would call it, a catastrophe. No matter what, this man Panicker is on it. He agrees. He says, look, the fundamental idea behind safe transportation of dangerous goods, whether by air, ocean, or other surface mode, is that the regulation is strictly followed. This involves correct identification of the substance by their proper shipping name and the UN number, proper hazard classification of the substance, packing them in accordance with the requirement given in the regulation, communicating the hazard contained in the package through marking and labeling of packages on one hand, and placarding of tanks and containers, trucks and rail wagon on the other hand, and finally documenting these substances in essence. And all of these are the responsibility of the shippers. The critical area in understanding is the classification and identification of the dangerous goods. While some substances are known because they're already identified by the UN Committee of Experts, the nodal body of experts, there are many others, derivatives, solutions, or mixtures, which need to be classified first before arriving at their identification by UN number and proper shipping name. This is a critical function which is often neglected. Mr. Panicker said, obviously, by all means, everyone involved in the transportation of DG must be thoroughly trained in the regulation. The level of training depends on the function the person is carrying out, or likely to carry out, he said. Another important aspect is packaging. Appropriate packaging here means that every package that is to be used for packing and transporting dangerous goods must be made using the material and quality in accordance with the requirements given in the regulations. Once that is done, these packages need to be tested and certified for use in packaging dangerous goods, substances, or article. And therein lies the biggest challenge. The trade cuts corners to save a few rupees here, save a few rupees there. But what that means is you're risking not only the supply chain, but also the life of people. For safety then, could technology help? The DG expert commented. So we wonder, where does technology figure in all of this? Mr. Panicker said the role of technology has not been yet fully explored or used. However, there are information systems available and being used for processing of dangerous goods and documentation and communicating electronically with the logistics participants such as shipping lines and airlines, but it is not actively implemented. Another area where technology could be used, especially in the Internet of Things, is in manufacturing of packages for shipping dangerous goods, and it's testing by certified and authorized labs. Some time ago, a leading air cargo DG expert described the threat to air cargo from unidentified and unlabeled hazardous materials in shipments resulting from online auction sales and retail sites. He described that the Wild West of dangerous goods is what's going on right now. Despite outreach from bodies like IATA, there have been breaches. With fines being small, change has been coming slowly. Panicker said the biggest danger or risk to airlines is what we call hidden dangerous good or undeclared dangerous. Many exporters are generally traders and they don't understand the technicalities of the chemical or the product which may be inherently dangerous. They fail to recognize them. Sometimes there are some unscrupulous freight forwarders who also advise their customers incorrectly and motivate them to take chances. He pointed out what is also not known in India. We have a regulation called Aircraft Carriage of Dangerous Goods Rule 2003, which besides enabling the implementation of ICAO technical instruction for safe transport of dangerous goods in India, lays down the requirement for shippers and others to follow, including the need for training. Whether the aviation sector has enough enforcement resources or not is something that the Directorate General of Civil Aviation has to evaluate. But yes, there is a need for surveillance audits of all entity involved in the transport of DG by air in order to bring a certain discipline. Panicker said that the fines for violation of dangerous good regulations were not small as far as air transport was concerned. Last year, for example, the government of India increased the fines substantially, extending up to 2 years imprisonment also under Section 10 of the Aircraft Act of 1934 for violations. The question that needs answering is how many have been penalized for violating the regulation, Panicker asked. You might ask yourself the same question. Here's a man out on the forefront of bringing some kind of sense to the regulation and the training, most importantly, the training of how to handle dangerous goods. Thanks to Tirthankar Ghosh for that report. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Flying Talkers 2021, brought to you today by the people of ATC, from Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere. ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. Although my daughter, Emily Parker Arend, knows all about wine, as a sommelier beyond compare, she can tell you what's good, what's right, and what should be passed by. She does not like the Beaujolais Nouveau. She just doesn't like it. I don't know. She just sticks her nose up at it. I guess part of the enjoyment of wine is the scene, but the wine has to be good too. Right now, we're in that part of the year where it's the Beaujolais Nouveau Day, and that was last week when the new wine came up. We're thinking of ourselves sitting in a picture with our cousins and Claude, the Cardin family, in a chateau that was built in 1745, located in Normandy, France. It's a kind of a marvelous country cooking and hospitality area with great sausages and great cooking and food and stuff and all that Calvados and Camembert. We always look forward to the Beaujolais Nouveau Day every year. And when we can, we get over there, which has been impossible for the last couple of years. But in fact, every year, the third Thursday of November, France announces and goes a little bit nuts at the arrival of the Beaujolais Nouveau Day with fireworks, music, and of course, lots of wine. You know, it's that kind of unbridled, disconnected, momentary lunacy that somehow has been beaten out of us in the last couple of years, that's slowly inching its way back. And it's not back yet, but the fact that it just happened last week, I thought I'd pass it along. The festivals throughout France and around the world enjoy the new vintage for the first time are something very simple, very plain. I can recall when every airline carrying the Beaujolais Nouveau, especially Lufthansa and Air France, would be putting out competing press releases to tell people in the cargo business, here it comes. You don't see much of that anymore, although I do enjoy seeing the Emmys being carried on United Airlines to big fanfare every year, the television Emmys out to from the manufacturer in the Midwest someplace out to Los Angeles. Just sort of that kind of inspired lunacy about nothing that really makes the going great, as they used to say at Pan Am. But get a bottle of Beaujolais Nouveau, okay? Don't be afraid to serve it. You got to chill it. Serve it with your turkey. And the wine has got a bright taste this year. The acidity and the fruity aromas and the soft tannins, you're going to like that. It's going to be delicious, and it's a lot of fun to drink. And it isn't terribly expensive. And it's much, much different than the heavier wines. Get ready for something different, a treat. The Beaujolais Nouveau. This is Jeffrey Arend. Today's Flying Talkers is brought to you by Colli Logistics. When it comes to keeping things moving, it's Colli, by golly. The global air cargo industry is a sunrise sector. You don't believe that? Look out at the ramp. There are thousands of airplanes carrying nothing but air cargo these days, where in past years it was in the belly, or maybe it wasn't there at all. The volume of air cargo being moved is ever increasing, and airports are finding it difficult to keep pace with expansion in terms of infrastructure, workforce, and level of automation. An end-to-end web-based air freight software or an air cargo management system can assist cargo terminal operators to address these issues. At Colli Logistics Solutions, we understand these issues well and constantly strive to provide solutions that can address these problems, promising improvement and efficiency of the operation, as well as increasing bottom-line results. Colli Logistics Solutions' suite of air freight software solutions to address the challenges of air cargo stakeholders have stemmed from working alongside leading airports, including Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and other locations around the world, gaining in-depth understanding of the challenges and opportunities that define the air cargo domain. Colli's flagship air cargo management system provides state-of-the-art technology for modernization and streamlining of air cargo operations that could assist all stakeholders in overcoming the challenges. Yes, today in 2021, it's Colli, by golly. We used to spend many of our Thanksgivings in the Berkshires. Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts at our family home in Great Barrington, and later at our place that was Sabia and myself and our children's place in Monterey, Massachusetts on Lake Buell, top of this hill. In terms of time frame, we were in the Berkshires from the 60s until the year 2000, an era that included the famous American artist Norman Rockwell, who lived over in Stockbridge. Rockwell, who passed in 1978, painted small-town life featuring real people from all over the Berkshires for the covers of a magazine called the Saturday Evening Post. Norman immortalized a time capturing a scene from the town, from the center bandshells to the folks in the barbershop, to maybe his most famous work of the town cop and the little boy sitting on stools at Joe's Coffee Shop at Lee, Mass. And that picture was titled The Runaways. You could see all of this in Flying Typers this week or on our website or in our LinkedIn, where we're presenting a playlist of music to that time and also to enjoy during the Thanksgiving holiday. Big deal here in America, Thanksgiving. Life in the Berkshires was idyllic, from the summer all the way to when the snow was flying and the skiers ruled from Butternut Basin in Barrington to Busquet Mountain in Pittsfield to Catamount Mountain over in Egremont, Mass. And apparently for some others, capturing that spirit of the Berkshires on canvas and paper was a popular pastime. Remember my oldest son, Jeffrey, who learned to ski at Otis Ridge, a simple hill for the locals with a rope toe. Anybody that's ever gone skiing with a rope toe will know that's very good early training into how not to let your arms get pulled out to get up a hill. That hill, Otis Ridge, is still there, and it's near our home in Monterey, and just as primitive as it ever was and just as beautiful. But he painted pictures, one called Life in the Berkshires. We're also presenting that on our website this week. So the Berkshires are and were a place of beauty and culture, drawing people all year round. Many people share living time, their homes in New York and New Jersey, in the Berkshires. In Manhattan, New York City, it's said that whilst the East Siders get away to the Hamptons of Long Island, the West Siders go to the Berkshires. At Tanglewood, summer home to the Boston Symphony, the great conductors were in residence, including Bernstein, who later held sway all summer long there. Later, Seiji Ozawa, who was a conductor, a principal conductor there, made Tanglewood his summer address. Today in Lenox, the concert hall is dedicated to honor the great Japanese conductor of the Boston Symphony. During high season, especially in late August, the shed where the orchestra played was filled with musicians, while the forest surrounding us all was filled with crickets, who especially in late August lived in the trees. Often, those crickets would join in the festival with their buzzing sound riding up and down on the wind as the music played on. Our kids went to summer camp over at Stockbridge Bowl during those golden days of summer. On Saturdays, we operated a hot dog wagon in front of our first congregational church in Great Barrington. The Massachusetts Congregationalists wrote the Bill of Rights after landing on Plymouth Rock in eastern Massachusetts in 1620. On Wednesdays, Pastor Van, our shepherd through the spiritual experience, came to house for dinner. PV, the endearment the people gave him, would tip a glass and never insist on anything except that my wife Sabiha be allowed to be a Muslim, most welcome, as an integral part of the congregation at First Church. Thanksgiving is going away my favorite holiday. The reason is simple. All you gotta do is show up for dinner. Now, of course, sometimes if getting together with family is challenging, some rules of engagement may be necessary. But what a relief not to have to buy anything or do anything or even say very much. Maybe pitch in and help. Pour a drink, build a fire, turn on the television, turn up the music. Hooray for the pumpkin pie. So our musical offering to go along with all this blather, I guess, are the tunes that you'll see on our playlist, as mentioned at the top. Our hope is that you'll find some enjoyment. And as we count our blessings, we wish you, dear listener, peace and goodwill at this time. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Jeffrey Aaron. That's it for our presentation today. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time. This time, until next time. This is Jeffrey saying, keep 'em flying, air cargo. And good night, Joe, wherever you are.